The series today is called Let Us Do Life Together. I want to ask you a couple questions before we set off this morning. How many of us here today would say, I have three people, at least three people in my life that know me very, very well? Very good. How many of us today would say, well, I mostly enjoy having, I always have deep conversations with others that are helpful. Okay, very good. Now let's take it to another level. How many of us here today would say, in the past week, I've been able to have a conversation with somebody to enrich their walk with Jesus? Very good. So I'm excited that a lot of us can relate to what we are going to be talking about today. This week, I was at my doctor's office just for the annual checkup, and normally they have you fill out a lot of stuff, and it dawned on me as I was filling out this questionnaire at the doctor's office, there was a lot of questions that were directed at my emotional state. There were a lot of questions asking me, how often do I feel lonely? How often do I feel sad? Do I have people I talk to? Do I ever feel suicidal? Do I feel depressed? And I was like, what has this got to do with my annual physical checkup, you know? So I was like, okay, I guess there's something in here. So it kind of caught my attention that there was a lot of questions that were directed to my sense of connection. Do I have people I talk to? Do I belong to a community? And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on. But you know how you leave a place and you think it's over? But for me, it wasn't over. The next following days, it kept coming back to me. Why were they asking all those questions? And I felt like the Holy Spirit was tagging on something inside of me, was stirring up something on the inside of me to think deeper on that. So, you know, I kept working on it, and it got heavy and heavy on my heart to really think about it more and really wonder why they were asking these questions. And of course, I continued to pray about it. And then I figured out that God was actually directing me somewhere with this whole experience I was having. And so I began to study on it, to pray on it, to think more about it. And it's amazing how God confirms things, you know, when you add, you know, just what it's amazing how he confirms things. So we have in my group, I have Pete and Troy and Derek, and we try to pray once a week for about 30 minutes. And so Pete and I are talking on Thursday, and he begins going off on this whole thing about how we're not connected enough in this culture and how we need to. I was like, stop, Pete. Did you read my notes? He's like, no. I was like, let's stop it there because something is happening. And to me, that was like a confirmation, you know. And then the following 2 days, I'm just giving you how God kind of led me in different ways. And so I met a lady that I met her for the first time from Michigan. And this lady, we were connected by a mutual friend. So after we talked and visited and she's about to go back, I asked her, how did you get to know him? And she's like, well, we were at an event and there were three chairs between us and I decided to go sit next to him because the chair next to him was comfortable. And when we sat next to each other, we began having conversations. And I got to know his family, and ever since then, we've been the closest friends, we stay in touch and all that. So I was having two extreme experiences. One was talking with Pete, telling me, you know, there is a reality in our times that we're too disconnected. And then the extreme, on the other hand, is to find two people that have had a tremendous relationship who are strangers, but now because they were able to connect. So that's kind of where this whole birth of this message came from about let's do life together. Now, when you look at that, I want you to look at those pictures. So let me know if that looks familiar at all. There's a couple out on a date. That is cool. And that's a family out to dinner, but they're really connected, you can see. And that is a sister that is not happy right there. See that? Look, that's after being married, right? It is after being married right there. Yeah, yeah. Or going to the wedding, or coming from the wedding, something, right? How about that? In bed together, but not together. I am really into you, right? So, with that, we live in the most technologically connected age in all human history. But we are not, the scientists said, research says, we have never been so lonely in this time than we've ever been. I mean, we're even more lonely than we've ever been, yet we are so connected at the same time. It's kind of a paradox that on one way we have this broad sense of connection where we have 500 people that we call friends, at the same time there are higher levels of loneliness in our time that have doubled since 1980. Sigma Insurance conducted a study. And when they conducted this study, of course, they had their own financial interests when they conducted this study. But in a study they conducted and published in the Atlantic magazine, this is what they came up with. They say after conducting a study, they found out 54% of Americans felt lonely or left out. 52% felt deeply unknown by others around them. They said, people know me, but I don't think anybody knows me deep. And 62%, and those two numbers up there include married people as well. But they also say 62% of marriages don't feel a strong connection. So, and also another study done by AARP, found out that young people under the age of 30 are more lonely than people over 45. And the thing is that young people under 30 are more connected technologically, right, than people who are over 45. But the more technologically we are connected, the more lonely we are. You see, loneliness is not just the absence of people. It is a state of disconnect. Amen. You can be in a room with others and still be lonely. Yeah. You can be in church with others and still be lonely. Yeah. You can be at work with other people and still be lonely. Yeah. You can be at school in a class and still be lonely. You can be married and still be lonely. Loneliness is a state of disconnect that it's an epidemic in our culture today. You see, the same study also said that at the root of depression, a lot of substance abuse, a lot of disturbances in sleep, a lot of depression, overeating is connected to a state of loneliness. A lot of people feel lonely, and when they feel lonely, they adopt these behaviors that are self-sabotaging. When you feel lonely, in a sense of being lonely as you feel it, it increases stress hormones, blood pressure, and all these things that begin to affect your health. So this is the time that we have to understand that in the Western culture, unlike other cultures, in the Western culture, we are more prone to be isolated, to be very driven by being asked, individualistic, my time, my space, me. I want to do me, I want to be me, and I have nothing to do with anybody else. Our culture, unlike other cultures that are really driven with community, the Western culture is not driven by community. And we have to be more intentional, because despite our cultures The truth of the matter is, it's important that you and I find a sense of connection with other people. In Western culture, a kid at the age of 15, they begin telling him, hey, you're almost getting on your own. You're about to be on your own. So at 18, you got to be on your own. So their mindset is set up, I got to be on my own, right? And then when they go to college, a lot of kids, what do they want? They want to go as far away from their folks. Why do you want to go to an expensive out-of-state college? Well, I just want to be away from my family as far as I can go. So we have this state that of thinking that I don't need people. I don't need you. I got it. I can do it. I can do my life without you. But yet in the entire civilized world, in America and the Western culture, we have the highest rates of suicides and highest rates of depression and highest rates of medication and all these things that we face with. It doesn't mean because you're a Christian you don't face loneliness. You can be a Christian as well and be very lonely. In the UK, now this is all background message, right? In the UK, you can look this up. In the UK, they have Theresa May appointed a minister of loneliness. Her name is Tracy Crouch. Her job is to fight this epidemic in the United Kingdom of loneliness. Come up with programs to include people to fight it, because they find that behind loneliness is this whole massive disaster that's hitting their community. They're aware of that. So, because it's our culture, we put every mechanism in place to avoid human contact. I don't know about you, but when I go to my local grocery store, guess what? I always prefer the machine than the person to check me out. I just want to self-check myself out, because I don't know. It's not that I don't like the person, but my default, like, no, I'm going to the machine. It's got my own stuff. It is the culture we live in. We're creating these self-checkouts with all this technology we have at a grocery store, at a cafeteria, at the bank, at the airport. We want to minimize human connection. As a matter of fact, most of us prefer to go to a place where you can just take care of yourself. The less you have to deal with people, the better. The less I don't have to drive with people. I want to drive by myself. I don't want to drive with people. They drive me crazy. I mean, we do everything to try to meet. It's our culture. It is the Western culture. It's the culture we're in. It's the culture that hurts us and hurts the body of Christ as well. You see, the more technology advances, the more you and I need to be very intentional. Very, very intentional in connecting with other people. Technology in itself is not the problem. I don't want you to think it's a problem. Technology is not the problem. Technology is amplifying what's already in us. You see, there are couples that go to dinner and will not look at their phones. There are couples that will connect their families. When they come home, the phones are put away. There are people who wake up and don't have to check Facebook the first thing when they get up. But there are people that do that. So technology is not the problem. Just like the knife in your house is not the problem. The knife is a good tool. But when you put that knife in the hand of a person full of anger, demon-possessed, full of hate, that knife could be a problem, right? So technology in itself is not a problem. We can use technology to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to make sure technology is not amplifying something ungodly in us that wants us to disconnect. I understand that, some people may be like, well, I'm an introvert. So the less I have to deal with people, the better. I don't want to be around. That's good for you extroverts, but I'm introvert. I just want to be by myself, do me, and that's where I find my strength. Now, whether you are an introvert, an extrovert, the truth of the matter, we all have a deep human need. We all share a deep human need of connection. of having to have a sense of belonging. A human need that says, I belong, I matter, I'm part of someone. We all have that, regardless of what your style, introvert or extrovert. You see, I'm not just talking about this message just for us to connect just for the sake of connecting. But I believe that for us who are followers of Jesus, our need to connect goes beyond ourselves. You hear me that?
Yeah.
Our need to connect goes beyond ourselves. You see, the devil's primary reason, he's worked this since all the time in the past, he wants to fragment the body of Christ, fragment us up, okay, have us have no connection inside of us, and so we cannot have this collaborative efforts of our growth in Jesus. The moment the devil gets us to a place where we are lonely, then we become more vulnerable. And when we get vulnerable, then he can easily take advantage of us. Jesus said, we are his body. Then what do you think the devil's number one goal would be? Disconnect us. We could be seated here and we're together at church. And I see you Sunday, you see me, we get, hey, God bless you, good to see you. But is it okay that I have no idea or nobody knows what your week was like? How challenging it was. Did you have anybody you could call? Anybody you could talk to? Anybody you could pray with? The struggles, the questions, the doubts that you deal with in the week. You see, my point today, and you can notice I'm trying not to preach. I'm just trying to kind of talk this morning. I want you to know this is beyond you and me. This is just because of Jesus, because of a greater cause. And I know that, you know, some of you may be like, hey, yeah, you know what, I have some golf friends, and you know, we hang out, and we talk about movie shows, or I mean, TV shows, and we just hang out, and we have golf friends. Or you're like, yo, I have my friends, you know, we talk sports, and I have a tight family, and we engage, we talk, and I appreciate that you have those relationships, and I thank God that you do have those connections, but the question is, do you have any relationship that you feel deeply connected that is Christ-centered? Where it's all about your walk with God. It's all about Jesus. Yes, you have your family is tight, but does it build your faith? Does that stir you up? Does that encourage you to walk? Does it help you fight your battles? Does it draw you closer to Jesus? Yes, you have your girlfriends, but when you get together, are you praying together? Are you sharing the word? Are you building each other up? Are you helping point each other towards Jesus? That's what we're aiming for. I'm not trying to replace any connections or relationships you have, but my goal this morning is that you and I will see the need that is available in the body of Christ within us as a church, as a community, to say there's a great need to connect so that Jesus could be exalted, magnified, glorified in our lives. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, when I read my Bible, especially the New Testament, I see that how they operated is miles away from how we operate. They had a lot in common. They prayed together. They encouraged together. But today in our churches, you know, you show up on Sunday, and I don't see you till next Sunday. You don't see me till next Sunday. And then we just, hey, and that, it's like we just go through this routine. I go to church, hear the word, and I'm out. And go deal with my life alone, and my self-doubts, and my own struggles, and the demons messing with my life, and I'm fighting these demons alone, and I don't have that spiritual connection, that support. And the devil says, as long as that can happen, I'm cool. Because I can keep eating away on you. I can keep praying on you because you don't have that backup. Now, I want you to see what... Now, we've been talking a lot. Let's go to the Bible a little bit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through 5. This is what it says. For as in one body, we have many members. And the members do not all have the same function.
Amen.
Right? Now, here's verse 5. Verse 5 says, for though we are many, though many are one body in Christ. Again, remember, this is about Jesus, right? We're trying to connect just because of Jesus, but this is an individual members of one another. So there God says, I want you to have this sense that you are part of me and I'm part of you. We are individual members of one another.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are individual members of one another. That is what God's word says. Individual, we need to operate like you are part of me and I'm part of you. Individual members of one another. You see, I told you about a month ago when I had a pain in my shoulders. But when I had that pain in my shoulder didn't hurt alone. My hand reached out and massaged my shoulder. You remember the last time you woke up maybe in the middle of the night and you hit your little toe against your bed? You remember what happened? Everything came to the rescue. I mean, your eyes look down to see what happened. I mean, the mouth gets its size up. I mean, I'm telling you, your hand went to the rescue. Your butt sat down. Your knees bent down. Everyone came to nurse the little toe. Gotta help out the little toe. Let's help him out. Because every part of you is individual member of one another. That is how the early church operated. Now I want you to think, what if you hit your little toe and the eyes didn't care to look and the hands didn't care to touch and the butt didn't care to see and the other leg didn't care to lift the foot? What if that happened? Some would be wrong, wouldn't it? Because if everything is right, every part of individual members of one another will reach out to nurse that little part. But do you know that as the body of Christ, that is not our story? Do you know that when one of us has, we have no clue, we have no idea, and there's no one coming to the rescue? Do you know why? Because our systems and our structures do not allow us to engage and connect and be able to pray, support, help each other. You see, that is the idea. But we are thousands of miles away from that. But I also know that a journey of 1,000 miles is what? One step at a time. We just have to say, okay, this is God's truth. This is where we are as a society. But we know what we have to aim for. See, the Bible also says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, 13, take care. That's a caution, right? Brothers, that means Christians. Okay, so this is ours. This is to us. Lest there be any of you with an evil and unbelieving heart. Now, how can a believer have an unbelieving heart? Well, because a believer had a believing heart, that's why he was a brother. But then a brother who had a believing heart got an unbelieving heart. How does that happen? Leading you to fall away from the living God. I know people that have fallen away. It breaks my heart. I pray for them. But I know people that once had a believing heart, once read the Bible, once prayed, once went to church, but they have now a heart that doesn't believe. They've fallen away. So he says, hey, take care. Say caution. It happened then in the days of the early church.
Yes.
It happens today. But he says, be cautious. Take care. Because brothers, not saved, not people who don't go to church, but those who are brothers, Christians, say, take care lest there be any of you. Why? Because it's possible for you to be believing and next thing you find yourself unbelieving.
Well,
it's possible for you to be a praying person today and find yourself you don't want to do anything with praying. It is possible for you to have your heart towards God and finding yourself your heart turned away from God. So he says, be aware. Why? Because the whole point of our disconnect is so that we can be distracted from the living God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So then what does the Bible tell us? How can we come to that? Now, if you're trying to think, okay, how can I make sure I don't end up with a heart that is unbelieving, and I make sure that I don't fall away from the living God, how am I going to do that? It goes in verse 13. But exhort, that is encourage, one another every day. I'm like, man, every day is too much, God. I can't believe God said every day.
Every day.
Man, I can do once a week, God. I can do, you know, every Wednesday, but every day? How many feel like every day is too much? Right? It is. I mean, it is. That means for me to encourage you every day, I have to be thinking about you, first and foremost. But I'm too busy. I got my own life. How am I going to think about you every day? And for me to be able to encourage you that day, that means I got to have had some time in God's Word, but I'm too busy to have time in God's Word. In order for me to encourage you that day, I got to have some encouragement to give you, because I can't give you what I don't have. But I'm so consumed with my own problems that I'm discouraged, so I'm not going to encourage you. Because I'm self-focused. So there's a need of paradigm shift, like, okay, I exhort one another every day. Now, how many know if we group of five, and in the five, this one encourages the other, and the other one encourages the other, and the other one encourages the other, then everybody can be covered. Then I don't have to, I can say, God, I'm going to take baby steps. I'm going to try to encourage someone twice a week. And when I grow up a little bit, I'll get to one and once every day. But let me just start somewhere. But if we have it in a way where, you know, it's not one person to encourage everybody, but this encourages so, and the other one encourages so, and the other encourages so, and, you know, then we can fulfill that scripture. The way you read that, or the way I read it, it doesn't look to me as a suggestion. It looks like a way to do life. An instruction from God's Word. He says, but. Because he said, if you can exalt one another every day, then guess what? This won't happen. This, where you once believed and you no longer believe, where you once loved Jesus, you don't love him as much, once you cared about God, but you don't care so much, once you, that connection you had with God has gone. In order not that to happen, then he says, do this. You know how the Bible, how practical the Bible is? You see that? He said, do that. Now, why every day? How many think the devil messes with you once a week? He doesn't, right? He will mess with you every minute he can get. Every opportunity he gets. If the devil could mess with you 24 hours a day, he would jump on it. Right? So we can't, when we begin to look at that as like, oh man, every day I got to deal with a brother and sister. You got to remember, it's every day that they're going through struggles and challenges. He says that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because sin is deceptive. Every time we fall in sin, it's because the devil puts a rainbow around it and made it look pretty and exciting and attractive and everything else. But God says, hey, in order for that not to happen, encourage one another. Every day. This is not really hard if you actually put it in perspective, because how many of us at least watch TV every day, or go on Facebook every day, or watch YouTube every day? I mean, there's something we do every day. So if we can do that every day, I can think of a brother too. I can think of a friend. I can think about someone and encourage them, because the whole point you're doing that is because we are a body of Christ. You see, it's easy for people to fall off because they have a sense of disconnect. And the reason we want to commit to doing life together is because we want for each of us to stay tight with Jesus. Because Jesus never disappoints. You cannot give your life to Jesus and then regret it. You cannot go to hear the truth of God's word, not a man-made, manipulative, but the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus, and say, well, that was a waste of my time. You cannot go to a prayer meeting and say, well, that was a wasted hour being at a prayer meeting. It's impossible. I know people that go to a movie and like, man, those are 2 hours of my life, I'm not getting it back. That was a terrible movie. Right? I hear about that. I hear people that pay $500 to watch again and come out depressed. Wow. 3 hours of life, but that never happens with Jesus. You can never, ever, I'm telling you, you can never see the end of God's anointed word and say, that was a waste of my life. Amen. You can never be in God's presence in prayer and say, well, that was a waste. I feel depressed for being in a prayer meeting. It never happens. So the whole point that I have to connect with you, you have to connect with, we have to connect with each other, is because Jesus never disappoints. Amen. He never fails. Amen. And that's what we want for each other. You see, how am I going to exalt or encourage you if I'm not connected enough to know where you need encouragement? Or how else will I be able to pray for you in my personal time if I'm not connected enough to know where you need prayer? And I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about us. Because it is not in the Bible that the pastor has to pray for everybody, the pastor has to encourage everybody, the pastor... No, it is us encouraging one another, because that Bible doesn't say, but pastors exalt the other. No, he says, but exalt one another. So we all have a part to play in each other's life. You see, some of you, this may put you out of your comfort zone, because you like just being lost in yourself. Because you got a little pride saying, yeah, I got it. I don't need no man help me. I got it. That's a sign of weakness to let everybody know that I need some help. You got this going on in your mind. I want you to know it is not of God to think that you don't need anybody. I want you to know that's pride to think that you don't need a brother or sister in your corner. It's not of God. But I also want you to know that, think about it this way. Is going to the gym good for you, or going to exercise good for you? When you go to regular exercise, is that good for you? Is it easy? No. I don't know about you, but I got to drive myself to the gym every time. There's not a time I'm shouting on the top of my room like, yay, gym time, baby, let's go. No. I have to talk myself into going. I have to, like, convince myself, like, have a self-dialogue, like, yeah, you can, yes, you should, you got to, you come on, you got to, you know, I have to self-talk myself into it. Is eating vegetables a good thing, healthy for you? Are they appetizing? No. Some people are lying right here. I mean, to pray for those people, right, that are lying in church that vegetables are appetizing. They're not. But are they good for us? Yes. It's the same thing. It's slowing down and connecting with others a good thing? Yes. Is it easy? No.
It's good.
But I gotta do it anyways. It's, we have to like stop ourselves in our own tracks. Like, do you ever notice, like, do you ever find yourself like, say on Sunday, church is over? Do you ever find yourself like just running out? I understand when people run out because they gotta go work, or they have an appointment, or they have, you know, something like that. But you know some people that just run out to do nothing? I'm just gonna go sit on my couch, but I'm running out.
Shut your mouth.
You know, it's 12 o'clock, I gotta go. Why? Because our human design, the way we've been designed and programmed, we don't value that slowing down and connecting with somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
So God is calling us to understand why it matters to do life together. The whole point that we want to be driven by this is, oh, did we even read that? We did, right? So what? No, we didn't read that. Okay, so exhort for, in other words, every day, you know, so that that'll give you the heart and deceitfulness of seeing. Look at that. So watch your step. Look at that. This is actually out of the Message version. Say, watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. But look at verse 14. For as long as it's still God's today, keep each other on your toes. So sin doesn't slow down your reflexes. So I need you. You need me. Somebody needs you. You need somebody to keep you on the toes so that sin doesn't slow you down. But he's like, that's the purpose. So if I don't have that, if I have nobody to get my back, that means sin is going to slow me down. My reflexes about reacting in a way that honors God is going to disappear. Now I'm going to be back in my old ways.
Well,
right? Now, how many know that if you ever meet a Christian that's really Christian at church and really Christian at home, it's very admirable.
Very what? Admirable.
Very admirable, right? Isn't it? But you know, we all struggle with, like, really Christian in church, but sometimes we have some things that come up at home that you're like, that's ungodly. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because we are trying. And we're trying to go after, we're trying to be synchronized. We're trying to be in sync with who we say we are and what we do. We are trying to make effort, and in the process of trying to be all that God has called us to be, we do need each other to help us get there. We can't do it alone. I need you. You need me. Somebody needs you, and you need somebody else. The reason we want to push through this, guys, and do life together is because I want for others to connect with God because they're connected to me. Be awesome. I want someone to be connected to God because they're connected to me. As being connected to me, their relationship with Christ is enriched, is helped because they're connected to God. That's the relationship. That's the value that we are going for. That's the thing we want to run for. That's the thing we want to pray for. That's the thing we are crying out to God. I want to connect with people so they can get connected with God. Because it's eternal life. It's life. It's eternal life. It's God. I want somebody to be in heaven because I was in their life. I want somebody to make it in the face of Jesus. And Jesus tells them, yes, I know you, because you intercepted the devil's work in their life while you're here on earth. Because you're the reason why they never fell away. Because you were involved in their lives to pray, support, encourage, and fight the demons alongside them. And now they're in glory because you intercepted, because you cared enough to step in, because you decided to say, it's not just about me, it's about Jesus, and I'll do whatever it takes to help another.
Yes.